Welcome, everybody. Order of the day is we will go through an explanation of the bill, of the supplemental budget bill by staff, and that, my guess is that will take about an hour just to get us through the bill and to kind of understand what we're doing. The House goes starts at 9 o'clock because we're behind on bills, and so we're stacking up the House and starting early, which means that we'll probably have to adjourn. We can maybe go in for a little bit longer if necessary. So my guess is that we'll really get to the markup on adjournment at noon. Just being practical about it, if we get further along, that'd be fine. So the first thing we do, we'll walk down agency by agency, page by page, both in the cheat sheet and on the bill itself. And Don will walk us through that. So this is the point where if you have any questions, to make sure that we understand exactly that the language is copacetic with what we did here. And then we'll be back. The other thing I want to do before we break at 9 is to make sure that all the other bills are in order or at least in the right direction, because the bills that we're doing for Game and Fish, the Livestock Board, for anything else on our overall plan are due by noon today. So I want to make sure we're on page for those. So, Don, if you just remind me, it's 10 till or something before we break, to at least bring that up to speed so we know where we're at and make sure. With the Game and Fish bill, I can just tell you that I'm having it drafted right now. And so we probably will not have it by 9 o'clock. As soon as it's done, I'll try to circulate it. I want to make sure that we touch on every part of the bill that we need to, because we can always come in with a substitution bill or to change the numbers. I just want to make sure that it gets launched across the bow. And there's the main bill and one or two other direct bills that's involved in for the AIS, aquatic invasive species component to it. Where are we at on the livestock? I think we're set to go. If that's been passed,
it'll be up in the Senate, Mr. Chairman, on Tuesday, I believe, in the committee on adjournment, I think.
Turn your mic on, we're streaming.
And so is that thing greased?
Mr. Chairman, it's pretty well there, other than we're going to have to do an amendment on it to bring in that investigator back in.
And flop it.
To bring it back. We left the ability to be there.
And we can do that in the budget bill.
I believe the budget, all we have to do is move the budget back out of the...
And then what else do we have to... Any other bills we have to worry about? That's it? All right.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Chair.
Would you explain what the tweak you made to the Game and Fish bill for the Senate's edification?
Yeah, I took out the 11.5% increase, because after meeting with the Game and Fish, and they're here, you've got a handout they just passed out that has an explanation of the fee increases that they're proposing, and it made more sense just to do the line by line fee increases.
Vicki, do you have that handout?
It's in a bundle there. And at the end of the day, it made more sense to do that because it gave less leeway to play with the numbers. It came up with a specific number, and I think roughly as it's crafted, it's a little over $7.5 million that they get with the fee increases. 80 or 90% of the fee increases all go to out-of-state hunters, and with the discussions that I had with the Game and Fish, they don't have... they believe that it will not reduce the number of folks applying, and so they're not going to have any substantial reduction in licenses, just based upon their experience and that type of thing. And so I think as crafted, it made it a lot more palatable, more explainable, and no direct impact on our statewide residential hunters. So it just made a lot more sense. And so if we have time, either now or... even this afternoon, we can kind of have Director Talbert to kind of go through that. And he can actually go through those numbers a little bit with you if you'd stay, and we can talk about it when the House goes back in to discuss it, to go through those numbers and walk through the list that I just handed out that he provided to us last Friday. Does that sound all right? Okay. Anything else before we jump into this, baby? So we have in front of us is the actual bill, and we also have what we call is the cheat sheet. And sometimes, and so just for the new folks, when we're on the floor, you have an option of having one or both of these in front of you. Usually we use the cheat sheet because it has an explanation, and Don will be working through those footnotes. And so it will be our responsibility to present this bill to the floor, and we'll kind of go by our designated agencies typically. So particularly on your designated agencies, you need to follow what Don's doing and make sure that you've got an explanation and can retain any questions and answer those questions that you're asked. So this is the time when we walk through this for you to ask the questions that you may think you may be asked on the floor on your particular agency and what we did and how we did it. So, Don, please proceed.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'll start by giving a broad overview of the bill. All of your actions actually reduced the governor's recommendations by $31,599,236. Your actions in total reduced the governor's recommendation by $31,599,236. That amount is actually $2.5 million lower than what we had anticipated. The reason being is the Endow program. You funded it. The governor included it in his governor's message. He included it in his profile. He did not formally request it in the form of a governor's letter or within the text of his supplemental budget request. As a result, it is no longer appearing on his profile, but it appears on yours. So you would have a total of $34 million of cuts had it not been for that Endow change.
And so, Don, the 31.6, that number does not include all of the potential cuts through what we have as the Section 320 here. Is that right?
Mr. Chairman, that is correct, and we'll walk through those as well.
So just explain why that doesn't come up on the line again.
So the final motion, which appears as Section 320, was a hard freeze on vacancies plus an additional 75 vacancies. The hard freeze on vacancies is estimated to save approximately $12.3 million. However, agencies have an opportunity to use those funds as written for other purposes. Let me give you an example. The Department of Health has the largest number of vacancies. Those vacancies are frozen, but the salaries committed to those vacancies could be shifted for purposes of, for example, Title 25 or, for example, salary increases at the state hospital, which the director has mentioned their nurses need to be increased. That's an example. So that savings may not be actually realized. Other examples include the Department of Corrections, which holds the second largest number of those frozen vacancies. The Department of Corrections has the authority to expend those funds for, say, overtime payments for the existing correctional officers. So those funds may not actually be realized. That's why they don't appear on our profile. It is likely that some of those funds will be reverted at the end of the year, or end of the biennium, rather. And those positions, if the freeze remains in effect, will be in your the 2019-2020 budget, but they will continue to be frozen throughout the balance of the biennium. So you will have an opportunity to determine at that time, next December and next January, what to do with those positions. In addition, the governor must make an additional $75 million 75 positions worth of cuts or a like amount of programmatic cuts. And we'll get to that in the final section. That works out to be about $5.6 million. However, once again, the reductions don't necessarily have to start today. They could all take effect, hypothetically, on June 29th and still comply with the letter of the provision as stat, as written, meaning he could wait until the last day to identify 75 vacancies, at which point there would be little or no savings. So that's why we don't profile those. However, going forward, we would expect not only that $5.6 million, but that figure to double. And that's based upon an average wage and benefits. So those numbers are not included in the $31.6 million of savings. They would be on top of that, but they are nebulous, so we do not include them in our profile. They certainly would help to substantially reduce any type of structural deficit in 2019-2020. Any questions on that before I...
Yeah, and we can, when we get back to 320, we can grind in that a little bit more and for ways to explain it. So please proceed on the general. And then would you just turn that from 1 year to what to the next biennium if we carry it through?
Mr. Chairman, we anticipate that the biennial reductions would be about $82 million. In addition, that does not include all of the vacancy savings. So once you include the vacancy savings, you're in the neighborhood of $100 million, which I think was some of the members' goal.
That's for the biennium.
That's for next biennium, the 2019-2020 biennium. You also cut out of the budget 67 full-time employees, 2 part-time employees. However, of that 67 employees, 23 of them are actually not reduced state employees. They are reduced in the budget, meaning Game and Fish comprises 22 of them. The Department of Transportation comprises one of them. Those individuals will continue to be remain employed with the state, but they will no longer be state-authorized positions. They will move over to the commission side. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'll work through the bill. I'll work rather expeditiously given the amount of time. I would argue that one of the most important things is to look at the underlying language. So the budget bill before you includes all of the sections that were brought in and amended, and the language that was adopted in the 2016 budget bill. So all of the footnotes that are not underlined are language from last year that was adopted. That could be amended by both you and the floors, but that is not action that you took in the past week. The first first 3 pages are actually just entirely definitions. The first agency, and I'll walk through this one a little bit slower just so folks get a tempo here, is the governor's office on page 7. And we have a new footnote on page 8. You can see the small 3 on page 7, line 7, after tribal liaison. You can see there is a new footnote 3. And on page 8, that footnote begins on line 20 and proceeds through line 2 of page 9. On your cheat sheet here, and this is the large legal size, you can see what action the JAC took. And the JAC reduced the governor's recommendation by half. The governor asked for $160,000 of new general fund money for the second year of the tribal liaisons. The JAC cut that in half to $80,000 and added a footnote requiring a report. That footnote appears on page 8, requiring that report. This is $80,000, which is a reduction from last year's appropriation of $190,000 for 1 year for those 2 tribal liaisons. The important thing at this juncture is to ensure that lines 20 through 25 on page 8 and lines 1 and 2 accurately captured your intent. If it did not, we can make some adjustments. And I think you will have a round robin later on to incorporate those adjustments if people feel that we failed to incorporate your intent.
So that's an add back into the budget, though.
That's an add back in, right. So net-net, JAC added $80,000, but that was $80,000 below the governor's recommendation. Agencies 2, 3, and 4, you essentially adopted the governor's recommendation with the exception of $2,848 in the Secretary of State, which was just a technical correction to their budget.
So, Don, if we, on the round robin, if we bring in adding in the 9 proposed positions to the State Treasurer's Office, we would do that in Section 4?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. And the language, just to give you a heads up, would appear on page 11, line 4. Currently, there is approximately $65 million appropriated for manager payments from the investment earnings. And we would footnote manager payments, and we would footnote the authorized employees. We would add whatever the committee decides, if at all. I believe the treasurer is requesting up to 9 FTE, and say that one half of any savings on line 4 may be used for the expenditures of those employees up to a cap of $3 million. That was his request. I'm just walking through. You can choose to do nothing, and that's...
Sure. Please.
Go back to page 9. Could you remind me of what this this footnote is about $72,000 under the Secretary of State?
Sure. First and foremost, this was from last year. So this is existing language in law, not something that you added. But I believe this is in the event that the marijuana petition were to have passed. It provided $72,000 that can only be used for that for a joint resolution and a constitutional wide ballot.
Okay. Thank you. Somebody might ask me about that on the
you
floor.
Bet.
I wanted to know about it. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I believe that takes us to the bottom of page 11 and page 12, which is the Department of Administration and Information. In this agency, you reduced the full-time position count by 3, but those were all unfunded positions. That was more of a correction from the penny plan, so there was no actual savings there. You also eliminated one vacant position, with a savings of $83,489. There are no additional footnotes to that agency. So the only JAC change was a correction on the FTE count and one vacant position. I believe it was Representative Summers' motion. Moving on to Section 7, that's page 14 of the bill, page 3 of the cheat sheet, and you had 2 motions here that were adopted. One, a reduction of a vacant part-time position and a savings of $28,000. And then secondly, you reduced the Youth Challenge Program by $500,000 in the round robin. That $500,000 was from the School Foundation Program. If you're looking for where that appears, that's on page 14 of the bill, lines 9 and 10. You can see over on S5, S5 is the other funds designation for a school foundation program. It was reduced from $2.4 million to $1.9 million. That's the $500,000. And I'm walking through just a few examples.
There was language in that to make it effectuated so it doesn't interrupt their semester program.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. And you can see that on line 9. We have a new footnote number 4. And that footnote number 4 appears at the bottom of page 15. Again, a great opportunity to see whether we fully captured your intent there that indicates that the appropriation decrease shall avoid any disruption of services to currently enrolled candidates.
Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman. Don, so that reduction in the Youth Challenge also goes over to the Department of Education or one of the education?
School Finance.
School Finance.
Mr. Chairman, it is from school finance funding, but it actually has no impact on the department itself. It's entirely through the military.
Representative Larson.
Okay.
Don, if you could, just I'm just trying to correlate between my cheat sheet and my bill. And so the challenge loan program that on the bill, on page 14 of the bill, which is that footnote 4 that you were referring to, which is elimination of about $500,000 That's shown on the cheat sheet down there on, says number two, JC reduced, if I believe.
That's correct.
But, above that, where it says JC eliminated one vacant part-time position, 0037, where do I see that on the bill?
So that is just a reduction of funds, and you can see on the cheat sheet, that is note number one, and number one applies to the military department operations. So that appears on line four of the bill, military department operations. There is no footnote associated with it, as it's simply a reduction of dollars.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
So that's the reason on line four, that's the reason that it's stricken and a new number put in?
Not entirely. So that's a combination. Yes, it's part of it. It's a combination of the governor's 8% reductions, and then JAC added an additional $28 million or $28,000 reduction on that line through the reduction of a part-time staff.
Yeah, so the real answer is it's not there, and that's why we have to explain it if someone wants to know. Please proceed.
Mr. Chairman, the next agency is on page 16, the Office of Public Defender, and JAC made no changes to the governor's recommendations. We move
Mr.
to
Chairman.
The bottom of
Representative Wilson.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Don, I know this isn't a footnote issue, but if you could remind me, because I was making an Excel chart over the weekend, and this is actually the only agency where there's an increase. And I started just trying to go through the governor's request. I know that that's not a footnote question, but because of this peculiarity, can you remind me, do you remember why this was?
Mr. Chairman, through the penny plan Superflex, the governor actually took money from the Department of Corrections and added it to the public defender for purposes of the
capital case
yeah. Funding that's going forward. I didn't want to name the particular case.
Thank you. And Mr. Chairman, and that's that 187.5. Or is that the?
No, Mr. Chairman. I think what she is noting is on line, page 16, line 3, you can see that this okay. agency actually received an increase overall as opposed to a decrease. I think that is what Representative yeah. Wilson is referring to.
That's 3.2.
The only one. Sorry. Again, I better have an answer.
And so that's line 6, where there's an increase of $1,062,000?
No, Mr. Chairman. It's actually line 3. And the underlying $18,560,000 is actually higher than the stricken line $18,435,000.
Okay.
That's an unusual occurrence.
How much did he take from corrections?
Mr. Chairman, roughly $400,000.
Okay. Please proceed.
The next agency is Agency 9, the Wyoming Pipeline Authority. That's on the top of page 17 of the bill and on the top of page 4 of the cheat sheet. The only change here was a reduction of $200,000 of general funds in their 900 series contracts. It appears in addition to the 8% reductions on lines 24 and 25 of page 16. There is no footnote associated with that. It's just a reduction of funds.
And there is a footnote to that effect on your on the cheat sheet?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. Middle of page 4, note number 1. Next is the section 10, which is Department of Agriculture. We have one additional footnote and several additional actions. Those actions are articulated on the top of page 5 of the cheat sheet. Let me run through them quickly. JAC reduced $67,000 from Weed and Pest District grants, restored that, and rabies surveillance, and took that funding instead out of the administration division. So on page 17, line 13, there is an additional $67,000 reduction to the administration division. In addition, we referred or stopped the governor from B11ing in or out of that agency in section 306, which is later on in the bill. that ensures that the reductions occur in administration of the Department of Agriculture, as opposed to moving those funds again and reducing grants that are distributed out to communities or counties. I'm on note number 2 of the cheat sheet, page 5. JAC eliminated a full-time vacant position and $138,000. You added back this $57,000 for weed and pest grants and $10,000 for rabies surveillance. Note number 5 is an addition of footnote number 4, which appears on page 19 of the bill. And it indicates that $200,000 within the rangeland assessment grant program may be expended for grasshopper outbreaks. I believe that was a Senator Driscoll motion. And then footnote number 6 on your cheat sheet, JAC modified the 200 series reduction by reducing $400,000 general fund and increasing $400,000 in other funds. That applies to the state fair. It appears on page 17, lines 23 and 24. Again, a reduction of $400,000 general fund and an increase so that they are allowed to use their own fees and operating expenditures for those purposes. And then finally, note 7, JAC added $306,000 in addition to the predator management program. That was a restoration of a portion of the governor's cut, and it appears on page 17, line 26. You added back 306,217.
So who's got ag on this side? Is that Sue? Or who has ag?
No. Nobody has it.
Okay. So I just want to make sure that you got it. So, all right. We call that the Devil's Tower amendments, or what?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, the next agency is Department of Revenue, number 9. No additional footnotes. The committee did.
Wait a minute, Mr. Chairman.
Please. On the state fair is basically on the as far as the budget goes, is a wash. We replaced one with the other, but on when you look at the agency total for Department of Ag. Under other funds, they have an increase of about $400,000. Is that the state fair? Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Agency 11, Department of Revenue, there were no footnote changes. JAC only took one action. It appears on page 5 toward the bottom of your cheat sheet. You eliminated one vacant full-time position and saved $94,000 general funds. Pretty straightforward. The next agency is Agency 15, the Attorney General. There are 5 actions here, no footnotes. The first one is you moved a position from the medical review panel on line 23 to the law office on line 11, and also changed the funding of that individual salary, $142,000, and that's with benefits, from the general fund to the Oil and Gas Commission revenue. And that's the first change. The second change is you added $13,083 from Agency 51, the Livestock Board, when you moved over the supplies for the one law enforcement investigator. Now, I understand there's some discussion of unwinding that. If so, that $13,000 would move back to the Livestock Board. You eliminated 2 vacant positions. They were both in the Criminal Investigation Division, and they totaled $213,000. You also added one position and $75,000. That is the Livestock Board position. And then finally, an additional note, moving that individual on line 23 medical review panel, so there's a negative there on the medical review panel of $142,000 in general funds.
Mr. Chairman. And I just want to clarify, we decided that was that the Oil and Gas Conservation Commission could pay for that out of the fees they generate from industry. Is that not correct?
Mr. Chairman, that's the action of the committee, correct.
And that was predicated on the testimony that he's doing more of that than he is in the medical commission.
Mr. Chairman, the next agency is the Department of Environmental Quality. In your bill, it's on page 22 and 23. There are no additional footnotes. The JAC took two actions. Number one, a Representative Summers amendment to reduce two full-time positions and $430,000. And then secondly, I believe it was a Representative Burkhardt amendment reduced $50,000 in general funds in land quality from object code 240 intangibles. Next agency, if there are no questions, is Department of Audit. It appears on page 24 and 25 of the bill. The top of page 7 of your cheat sheet, you eliminated three unfunded vacancies. And in a different division, excise tax division, you removed two unfunded vacancies. So in truth, you adopted the governor's recommendation with respect to dollars, and you corrected or eliminated five total FTE that were already unfunded in his budget proposal.
Please.
Real quickly, Don, can you help me understand that a little more clearly? Governor's rec was not those three unfunded positions. Our action here in JAC eliminated all five of those positions, additionally to the governor's rec.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Landon, that's right. The governor recommended just the funding be reduced, but that the positions remain in the event that the agency, per their testimony, would be able to secure other funding for those positions. However, the committee decided to leave one of those unfunded positions for those purposes and reduce the other five.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, the next agency, if there are no further questions, are Agency 24, State Parks and Cultural Resources. In general, the committee adopted the governor's recommendations in their entirety. You added one footnote. It appears on page 27 of your bill, lines 7 through 10, and it provides an additional $30,000 through the Arts Council for a grant program to county museums.
Please. Somebody else is adding a certain amount of money for that purchase somewhere else. Could you remind us how much that was?
I've got an amendment to add to make these matching dollars when we do other round robin. But the particular items that might fit into this category, they're buying them for the artwork for I think 75 or 80,000. So this is basically a third of the cost.
Okay, thank you.
They're matching 2-to-1, roughly.
Mr. Chairman, the next agency for your consideration is Agency 29, Wyoming Water Development Office. In this agency, it is not generally funded. It is funded with Water Development Account 1 funds. However, the Joint Appropriations Committee applied the 8% reduction for 1 year, FY18, their budget. So you can see that reduction on line 16 of the bill on page 27. There is no footnote associated with it, but the short answer is you're treating this agency as if it were generally funded for the second year of the biennium.
So, Don, we did the 8%, but we didn't apply the penny plan.
Mr. Chairman, that is correct. That would be another 1.5%.
$339,000 is 1.5%.
No, Mr. Chairman, the $335,000 is the 8%, which the committee did apply. The penny plan would be 1.5%, and that would be $127,000 for 2 years, or half of that for 1 year.
And so, Don, my understanding is that your office is putting together kind of a one-page bullet sheet that we'll talk about when we move various components of the state engineer's office off general fund over to Water 1. And then if you incorporate in the reductions that we're making from those agencies, and then we'll have a net amount available added back to, based upon our productions, on how much dollars will be available for Water 1 expenditures and ongoing water projects. Is that right?
Mr. Chairman, that is correct.
So will you and when we get do you have a rough estimate of that now, or when will we know those dollars?
We'll have that for you
okay.
well before it goes to the floor, sometime this week, but well before next week.
Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, just a note. It seemed to me like the director was interested in that 100, 200 being expanded to, was it the 900 or 600? I haven't.
He did ask that. Yeah,
yeah, just a note to you in particular.
And if particularly if we add in another 1.5%. The penny plan. Well, it would be, you can see what 8% was, so it's 1.5%, so it would be a quarter of that, roughly, not quite.
Mr. Chairman, it would be $63,611 for 1 year. Mr. Chairman, the next agency for your consideration is Agency 32, the Wyoming Infrastructure Authority. It appears on page 28 of the bill and page 8 of the cheat sheet. And there are no changes that JAC made beyond the governor's recommendation of 8% cut. The next agency is Agency 28, Agency 37 appears on page 28, the State Engineer's Office. The Joint Appropriations Committee reduced one vacant full-time position with a savings of $105,000. You also modified half of the funding of the Board of Control, an amount of $6,214,393 of general funds, and you moved that over to Water Development Account 1. So no reduction there beyond the governor's rec, but a movement of funds from general fund to Water Development Account 1. And then finally, you eliminated one vacant full-time position and $140,000 in that Board of Control beyond the governor's 8% reductions. There are no footnotes on this agency.
So we did not do the 1.5% for them as well? They already got it.
Mr. Chairman, they already did experience the penny plan.
Representative Somers.
Mr. Chairman, just quickly, what line on the cheat sheet do you show that shift of other funds, which the board can sort of be?
Note 2 on the bottom of page 8.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, the next agency is Agency 39, Wildlife Natural Resource Trust. The committee adopted the governor's recommendation and moved the administration off of general funds. You will also note on the top of page 30 of the bill, we renamed that division from Wildlife Trust Projects to Administration and Projects, as this program now incorporates both the two FTE as well as the grants to Wildlife Trust Projects. The next agency is Agency 40, the Game and Fish. It's on page 30 and 31 of the budget bill. And it appears on page 9 of the cheat sheet. Several activities going on with this agency. You eliminated one vacant AWEC position and $16,000 from the Aquatic Invasive Species Program. You reduced that program by $773,000. You reduced the Veterinary Services Program by $1.8 million. You reduced three full-time positions from the sage-grouse planning and protection and saved $918,000. You reduced one full-time position in the wolf management and reduced that by $252,000. And you eliminated four AWECs and $92,000 from the CWCS program. You also reduced that program by $1.1 million. The key here on this agency is you have essentially zeroed out all general funds for FY18, and you included footnote number 1, which appears on page 31, which links that reduction to House Bill XX, because we don't have the name of that bill. We will in the coming hours. But if that is not enacted into law, you reinstate the 22 generally funded employees and reinstate all of the funding for those five programs, aquatic invasive species, vet services, sage grouse, wolf management, and CWCS. That's the entirety of that footnote. So it's a contingent upon that bill.
So the total amount of reductions is the $9.76 million?
Mr. Chairman, in this year it's 4.8.
Yeah, the 9.7 is the total amount with the recent
for the biennium.
For the biennium. Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Don, where do we reinstate note 6 on the cheat sheet that 92,624 general funds?
Mr. Chairman, no. Okay. So any of the position reductions,
they stay.
Okay. Whether or not the now. If they get moved, if the Game and Fish Department gets moved to commission funding, they have the ability to create their own positions. So if that fee bill were to pass, they have flexibility to restore any positions.
Yep.
Because they're using their own money.
Thank you.
Senator Landon.
My apologies, Don, but I'm trying to track the aquatic invasive species reduction that we made. Down in the footnotes, can you help me find that again, please?
Sure. Mr. Chairman, on page 30 of the bill, lines 16 and 17, you can see that appropriation was reduced from 1.5 to 773,000. Do you see that reduction?
Page what?
Page 30, lines 16 and 17. There's a reduction from 1.56 million of AIS funding, general funds for AIS, down to 773. That is essentially cut in half. It's not exactly half, but it's right there. And then on the next page, page 31, lines 14 through 16, reinstate that reduction in the event that the fee bill is not enacted. So you see it's being taken out in the table, the appropriation table on page 30, and then it is added back in the narrative on page 31, lines 14 through 16.
So just a question for Director Talbert real quick. So when the bill that's coming out, we'll have to have that effective immediately so you can capture the license increase for next fall, basically.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Yeah, okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Speaker Protem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Quick question for the agency, and excuse me, I have the crud that's going around. If it's effective immediately, what about the license applications that are due in by the end of May? I'm just curious. Personal question.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, if it's effective immediately, we'll have to do that through commission regulation. And rather than having two prices of licenses during any calendar year, that would go into effect starting January 1 of next year.
Thank you.
If there are no further questions, the next agency is 41, Fire Prevention and Electrical Safety. It appears on page 32 of the bill and page 10 of the cheat sheet. The Joint Appropriations Committee adopted all of the 8% reductions proposed by the governor and, in addition, eliminated one vacant full-time position with a savings of $103,000. The next agency is Agency 42, Geologic Survey. There are no footnotes and no changes from the governor's recommendations. The next agency is Agency 44, Insurance Department. It appears on page 34 of the bill, page 11 or 10 of the cheat sheet. Again, there are no changes from JAC from the governor's recommendations. The next agency is Agency 45, Department of Transportation. And there were several changes from the governor's recommendation. First of all, the Joint Appropriations Committee reduced $971,000 from the WildLink, which is essentially FY18 funding for WildLink. This is very similar to Agency 40, where the Joint Appropriations Committee eliminates the second year funding of game or general funds. You see that on page 35, line 7 of the bill. And you can see that again on aeronautics, where the $13 million is once again reduced to $5.9 million. And finally, on line 18 of page 35, the general fund appropriation to the commission is reduced from 5.3 or 5.6 to 2.6.
So, Don, the explanation of this really is that the general funds that were used by YDOT were these are the particular entities that they funded, and so we weren't targeting these other than to move it off of general funds, and these just happens to be how YDOT funded those particular entities.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
That's number one. And number two, then, my understanding is that by doing this, the total general fund dollars were roughly $38-39 million, and the that were no, excuse me, $51 million. But in our additor back licensing, they get about $38 or $39 million. So they're taking in roughly an $11-12 million hit to their general fund overall general fund dollars by this action.
Mr. Chairman, this year it's complicated by AML, but your analysis is accurate.
President Somers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I just want to back up to the insurance department real quick. So on that, the reduction that the governor made there was just that rate hike holiday. Is that right? Or what?
No, Mr. Chairman, Representative Somers. This was a reduction to the health insurance pool, which is that high-risk pool for state citizens, not state employees. And I think the department – yeah. I think the department acknowledged that due to changes in the eligibility for that program, they are not anticipating fully utilizing the $4.9 million and were able to accommodate the 8% reduction.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, continuing on Department of Transportation, you will note on page 35, line 16, there is an addition of $1.2 million in S7 funds. That is the coding for the highway fund, and it relates to page 37, footnote 4 in the bill, and basically says, of these other funds, which means the highway fund, not less than $1.2 million shall be expended for air service enhancements. That is the community airport enhancement program. That's 1 year, FY18 year of funding. The department, I think it's fair to say, will be challenged to do this because the highway fund is primarily made of fuel taxes and federal funds, which cannot be used for purposes of air services enhancements. Nonetheless, any other eligible funds within that account shall be used for that air services enhancement program.
So, Don, would there be a way to play with that language to give them better leeway?
I defer to the budget director, but I think that's of their funds that are available this year, they're going to be challenged finding those resources.
For example, could they go in and grab some of the AML dollars and do a loan across or a swap or anything like that?
Mr. Chairman, and I'll defer, but the AML dollars are not eligible for anything other than highway transportation. They can't be used on airports.
Mr. Chairman, during the AML swap, the Department of Transportation fully leveraged everything they could possibly do to get that swap completed as quickly as possible. So for the remainder of the biennium, it's going to be a struggle for them to be able to make up that special revenue from unrestricted highway funds that are remaining. However, when you get into the following biennium, because the royalties and severance taxes are no longer been taken from the Department of Transportation, then they'll have flexibility to the extent that they had before.
So you don't have any proposal on either a loan or a borrow or on interest free or anything like that, so that they can.
Mr. Chairman, I'll think about it.
Okay. Representative Larson.
And thank you, Mr. Chairman. Along those same lines, and so we're saying that they can't spend less than that, but if they don't have it, what does that do? If it's not there, how do you spend less than?
Well, I think that was written to put them in the most restrictive way possible. We could say may, but then
they won't do it. Yeah, doesn't get
right. There is no requirement to do so.
Chair. Senator Land.
It makes me wonder what an amount would be if I'm hearing that we're going to have enough flexibility in the next biennium. I just wonder in this final year of this biennium, if we want those air service enhancements, what kind of bridging number would we be looking at if, and we could possibly write that into the footnote in a contingency manner. I'm curious what that figure would look like.
It's 1.5, right?
Mr. Chairman, I think that there's two things to consider here. I believe it's about $1.2 million is what they're challenged with in the current biennium. To come up with the unrestricted highway funds. But predicated on the passing of the fee bill, that $1.2 million swells quite dramatically if the fee bill doesn't pass. So you got that follow-up issue if it doesn't happen. So right now, the way things are written, if you assume the fee bill is going to pass, then YDOT's going to be challenged with meeting the $1.2 million. But that's quite a bit easier than finding almost $10 million, I think, would be an appropriate estimate for what would happen if they don't get the fee bill passed.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Larson.
So, Don, going back there, and I'm just trying to understand the consequences of not meeting that. Is language of this bill then just require them to ensure that they get the most of the funds available up to that $1.2 million? And if they're not able to because funds aren't available, we're okay? Or is there a penalty attached if they don't do that? How does that? I don't see a penalty attached, but what happens? What's the consequences if they don't?
Mr. Chairman, basically, if there is $1.2 million of unrestricted funds in that highway fund, it must go for air service enhancements. And there are unrestricted funds in there. That, right, the fund earns interest. All of those interests are unrestricted. That's a tremendous amount of potential revenue that could more than potentially cover this, just as one example. Not all of the funds in that highway account are restricted.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. There's a limited amount of other funds inside the Department of Transportation funds that are unrestricted. Traditionally, when you use the terminology unrestricted, you're talking about royalties and severance taxes. The Department of Transportation does earn some interest. Historically, about $3 million a year in interest would be what the Department of Transportation would earn in that revenue stream. So I think the Department of Transportation is saying that it's going to be a challenge to come up with $1.2 because all the other things that they had to do with the AML swap on top of all of this, it's going to be a challenge. But it's not plausible to think that once it crosses the biennium, or excuse me, it's not plausible if the fee bill dies that then they could do that to that extent, because you're talking about a larger number that you're swapping out, that you're not giving back.
Okay, that helps. Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, we might want to think about this during round-robin discussion on how we might go about approaching this. I think the feeling of the committee was that we want to make sure this enhancement money stays in place and that we're able to take care of some of the things that are going on at our airport. So I just want to be careful that we structure this language that we don't put ourselves in jeopardy of losing some agreements out there.
Yeah, at least I don't know if round robin is the place, but definitely on one of our sides, we ought to have a protection in place so that when we get to conference committee, that the lifeline is there.
Mr. Chairman.
Let's go to Senator Driscoll.
Mr. Chairman, Don, would it be out of line to footnote the budget reserve account once again and allow the governor borrowing authority out of it to be repaid back into it. Would that be a potential route to do that?
That's not a – I don't think that's attachable, is it, Don? You can do a contingent appropriation, but I don't know if you can go to the BRA if it's not budgeted.
I think you could do a contingent appropriation. I don't know about a loan across a biennium in the budget bill.
Okay. That's what I was wondering. Thank you.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just while I have all the good thinkers in here, would we be able to maybe address this issue if we footnoted the Business Council to say that of the money appropriated for the Business Council grants, up to $1.2 million could be spent on air enhancement? I mean, the air enhancement is all to publicly owned facilities, right? So wouldn't that fall under the capacity of the Business Council? Just a thought.
I think we could do that as an option. Yeah. Tie up another $1.2 million of their funds. Okay. Yeah, it could be a loan. It could be a no-interest loan. So, anyway, Don?
Mr. Chairman, the next agency is Agency 48, Department of Health. It appears on page 37 through page 43 of the bill. There are several additional footnotes that have been added, and it appears on your cheat sheet, top of page 12. The committee eliminated one vacant full-time position with a savings of $170,000. You also added footnote number 11, which applies to the entire agency. This footnote allows for entire flexibility among the agency to exchange any appropriation from the Tobacco Settlement Trust income account with any other appropriation from the general fund in order to secure the highest amount of federal matching funds possible. This avoids the concerns that the reduction to the mental health PMOs would result in a loss of federal funds. You also added $2 million, $1 million in general fund, $1 million in federal funds, and footnote number 12 for the comprehensive waiver for children and adults. That's in addition to the governor's recommendation. You then eliminated one vacant part-time position at a savings of $137,000. You reduced $2.1 million in the 600 series grant payments and added a footnote restricting the use of those 600 funds or 600 series funds.
Representative Larson.
So I need to go back to the cheat sheet on note 3. You're showing that comprehensive waiver is footnote 13, I believe, in the bill you referred to as well.
Yes. The footnotes 12 and 13 are reversed. I think we had two versions of the cheat sheet.
So on the cheat sheet, should we use 12 or 13?
First of all, this is just a draft, and you're going to make a lot of changes potentially, so this will all be redone. This is not what will go to the floor. You also reduced $405,000 for the adolescent health program, effective at the beginning of fiscal year 18, thereby eliminating the program. You added $1 million for outpatient mental health services. You eliminated 10 vacant positions with a savings of $472,000 general fund, and you added $2 million for the preschool DD program. Now, all of that in total, a 30,000-foot view, on the top of page 12, you can see that JAC net, net, net on the Department of Health added $700,000 of general funds, and you added $1 million of federal funds. So net, you added back money to this agency, which is also somewhat unusual.
So real quickly, I've got Director Forslund here, because I wanted to clarify for us the impacts of several of those funds to, because I didn't fully understand what those are. So, if you got the mic for him, since we're, go ahead, Tom.
Mr. Chairman, could you ask, excuse me?
Well, I want to know what the full impact is for the reducing the adolescent health program and any federal funds lost, and then the impact that we're going to have. We added back $1 million on the mental health services, but there is an overall cut on those services that still exists.
Mr. Chairman, I've prepared a handout here for you just very quickly on the $405,000 for the fiscal year 18. That is in the maternal and child health. The bulk of that money goes directly to county governments to pay for public health nurses. And then a small portion of it goes to seven counties for family planning because they don't receive other federal funds. So that's the impact on that. In terms of substance abuse prevention and reduction of $2.3 million, you have a listing there of the items that will be eliminated as a result of those reductions. In terms of the bottom part of that is we might likely be out of compliance with maintenance of effort. We will try not to, but it could be a challenge for us. If we do cannot meet maintenance of effort, then we will lose additional federal funds.
What percentage of that is for the public nurses, the health nurses, in terms of the your component of it versus county component for the – you said you have potential layoffs.
Mr. Chairman, that our county, which we have is a combination of throughout the state a variety of models, but bulk of them have some state-hired nurses, employed nurses, some have county nurses and or a combination thereof. This would be money to support the county nurses. And so what impact that would be, we don't know because that will be up to each county commission to make that decision. Again, this is part of the maternal and child health program.
Questions for the director on that component of it? So walk me through the substance abuse, suicide prevention, tobacco prevention reduction.
This is a $2.3 million reduction for fiscal year 18. And at this point in time, to distribute those reductions across, we'll eliminate suicide prevention activities because, again, they're 100% state general funds. Eliminate the county-based alcohol and fetal alcohol spectrum disorders prevention services on the Wind River Reservation. The Wyoming Quit Tobacco program would be eliminated, and then a variety of others that you see there at the bottom. Again, that's our take at this point in time on the impact of losing that $2.3 in general funds.
How much of that, if any, are matching funds? Is that all our dollars, or is it?
Mr. Chairman, it's part of a broader grant that it's not only in behavioral health, but it's in public health. Those two together make up our match, in effect, to receive federal funds. And so all this together, what we have to do at the end of this of the session is determine how much we lost through the governor's cuts and legislative cuts to see then how short we're going to be on the federal match. But chances are we will lose some federal funds. I can't tell you standing here today how much that would be, but it could be substantial.
Are they one-to-one matching? Are they 50-50 type things? Are they maintenance of effort components to it?
Mr. Chairman, it's a maintenance of effort. It's not like a Medicaid where it's a 50-50. It's a matter of maintenance of effort and how much the state puts in and what we can swap out to say we are meeting that requirement. This is every federal program is different, and every agency that looks at it is different. We have more flexibility here than we do, for instance, with the Department of Education and the preschool program. I'm sorry I can't be more definitive, but that's just the reality of the situation.
How much do we know roughly how much the grants are in total?
Mr. Chairman, approximately $11 million.
Do we have any understanding of other states that have not met the full granting funding, and if whether it was cut proportionately or whether it was cut in total or how it's been dealt with?
Mr. Chairman, this particular program, I can't answer that. I'll look at between now and noon and come back to you on it. A couple other programs, they don't care. The federal agency doesn't care on the condition of the state, and they just cut. In terms of this particular program, I need to check a little bit, and I'll get back to you at noon if that's okay.
Well, and you know, I don't know if you can get answers by noon, and we don't have to fully decide this today. The cuts are there. They can come back if we have more information, but I hate to take action when we don't know the full ramifications of what we're doing.
Mr. Chairman, all I can tell you is you take out the amount of general funds, the combination of what has already been taken by the governor and by proposed JAC cuts, we will not be in compliance, in my bet. The question is how much we can move money around to see. I mean, you've given us some flexibility in the tobacco funds and such. We will do our darndest to not have any impact, but I'm not going to stand here and guarantee that that's not going to be the case.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Director Forslund, are those general funds that we got there, are they completing the maintenance of effort just for this public health division, or does it cover more than one division?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Larson, it covers public health as well as behavioral health. It's two separate areas, and so it's all in the prevention activities related to substance abuse and prevention and treatment.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Director Forslund, we had a lot of conversation on the committee with regard to the developmental preschools. I suspect I'll get the same answer. Do you see that there would be any opportunity to at least request some consideration? I believe we're still below maintenance of effort on that, even by putting $2 million back into the developmental preschools. Do you see any light at the end of that tunnel with regard to consideration from the feds?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Landon, again, it's a situation where the Department of Education, you're talking about now, the developmental preschools, has been very unbending in their interpretation of or willingness to give some waivers to states who are facing fiscal crisis. That's part of that's been their MO in the last administration. New administration, will they have a different attitude? I can't answer that today, but up to now, it's they don't care. You meet maintenance of effort or you don't. And they, in terms of financial condition in the state, not their problem.
So my understanding was the $2 million matches the maintenance of effort. It's next year that $4 million won't match it. And so if we fund it for two more years, we get one more year. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, you are correct. You put additional money in that will get us through this fiscal year. If we get that money out quickly, we're okay for this year. It won't do us any good for next year, but it will be okay for this year.
And in order to get next year, how much does that require?
Same amount, Mr. Chairman.
The total, though, it's $11 million, or what's the loss from the federal funding?
Talking about the
to match
on the developmental preschools.
Yeah.
Now.
Yes.
again, the developmental preschool program, the federal government, there's two components of it. Remember, there's a B and a C. And the federal government doesn't put in a high percentage of the developmental preschools. I think it's, if I remember right, it's approximately 8 to 9% on one program, about 12% of the funding on the other program.
Okay, thanks. All right. At what point, House side, do we want to go back in for second reading and third reading? You guys got to let me know what your preference is.
So I just want to check and see if there are any second reading amendments on 218, 219.
I didn't see them.
I didn't
either.
Oh,
see if there were amendments, but yeah, we don't know.
We don't know. That's my concern.
Well, actually, we probably need to be there to argue it. If there are no amendments, we're fine.
Yeah. And then third reading, we probably need to be there.
So my question is, should we take a short break and then let the Senate know if we need to come back or not and plow through for a little longer, or just want to reconvene at noon?
I just assume plow through, but we need to be there for third reading. I'll go check on the second amendment.
Matt, do you know where the house is right now?
They're not in yet? Was it 9:30? Okay. I thought it was 9, so go ahead.
Well, I'm going to go check and see.
Mr. Chairman, if there are no further questions on the Department of Health, we move to the Department of Family Services, Agency 049. That appears on page 44, 45, and 46 of the bill, and the bottom of page 12 of your cheat sheet. You eliminated two vacant full-time positions with a savings of $300,000 general funds in the institutions, girls' school, boys' school, and you reduced one vacant full-time position in the assistance and services, and reduced $1 million of general funds for the child care subsidy payments. There were no changes to footnotes.
Yeah. I'm sorry, what page are you on?
Just number. We just discussed page 44, 45, and 46. With no questions, we're moving to page 46, Livestock Board, Agency 51. There is an additional footnote. It appears on the top of page 47, lines 8 through 10. You did several actions in addition to approving the governor's 8% reductions. You removed $52,000 of support costs and eliminated, for the eliminated positions, those four positions, three full-time and one AWEC. The full-time positions are being eliminated for 9 months of the biennium, effective September 30th, 2017. You moved one position, the salary for that, and the support costs, totaling $76,000 in salary, $13,000 in support costs to the AGDCI. Then the JAC modified the funding for the brand inspector salaries and reduced $500,000 in general fund and increased $500,000 in special revenue, that is fees from the Livestock Board. You also added a footnote designating and authorizing those four positions are authorized through September 30th, 2017, at which point they expire. Any questions on that?
Questions?
If not, Agency 53 is the Department of Workforce Services. You adopted the governor's recommendation without change. Agency 57 appears on the bottom of page 48 of the bill.
Don, I had a question on the Department of Workforce Services. There are a couple components in there of those agencies that did not, they're not under general fund dollars, so they didn't receive the 8% cuts in their departments. Is that right?
Mr. Chairman, that is correct. Workers' safety being the largest, unemployment insurance being a smaller component.
So when we talk about, Don, when we talk about worker safety, is that mostly, would that be OSHA and workers' comp together? Is it? Or was it singled out one or the other?
Mr. Chairman, Don will look, but I think OSHA might be in labor standards, which is generally funded.
That's right. You're right. Thank you. So it's just workers' comp?
Mr. Chairman, I believe that's correct.
Thank you.
The next agency is Agency 57, Community College Commission. It appears on pages 48 and 49 of the budget and appears on the top of page 14 of the cheat sheet. Two important concepts here. You added, as a committee, $631,000 for the veterans' tuition reimbursement for FY18 veterans' tuition. The governor had eliminated that but requested that the committee find funds to the extent possible. In addition, the governor, or the Joint Appropriations Committee, rather, reduced $590,902 in general funds, and this is an important one, to reflect the position reductions in Section 320 that did not apply to higher education. So the 75 FTE reduction applies to state agencies. A like amount using the average wage and benefits was applied proportionally for community colleges and the university.
And
in this case, it's
590.
It came to 590, correct.
Are you talking about this, the governor's 8% cut?
No, Mr. Chairman.
And now you've got me confused.
The final motion of the committee was to reduce 75 additional vacant positions.
Oh, okay.
Higher education positions are not authorized in the budget bill. So we understood that to mean that a like amount shall come from the community colleges and the university, and in this case, that's $590,902 from the community colleges.
In vacant positions.
They can take it however they wish.
Okay.
And you just base that on that average number? Was it 75 or?
That's correct, $75,000 per year. That's a $50,000 or $51,000 average salary plus the 30% benefit. Package.
And that's spread across all seven?
That is spread across all seven colleges.
Representative Swartz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just curious, is that a mean or a median, that 51?
Mr. Chairman, that is an average, a mean.
Further questions?
Next agency is Agency 60. It appears on page 50 and 51 of the budget bill. Bottom of page 14 of the cheat sheet, you denied the request of $5 million for emergency local government funding, which would have been administered through the SLID board. That's the only change made to that agency. The next agency is Agency 63, Governor's Residence. No changes beyond the governor's recommendation. Agency 66, page 52, is the Tourism Board. The governor, or the Joint Appropriations Committee, eliminated two vacant AWEC positions totaling $215,000. The University of Wyoming appears on page 53 with footnotes on page 54, 55, 56, 57, and 58. There were several amendments to this agency. First of all, you denied Governor's Letter Number 1, request of $500,000 for the UW Science Initiative. Second, you denied Governor's Letter Number 1, a request for $475,000 for the Strategic Enrollment Program. However, you added footnote number 10, which appears on the bottom of page 58, and authorized the university to implement the Strategic Enrollment Management and Recruiting Program as presented in their budget request with any university funds available. You next adopted the footnote that was requested by the agency and the governor to expend up to $5 million upon match for purposes of research on unconventional oil and gas reservoirs. This allows them to expend those funds for research as opposed to the endowment, which was previously provided for in the 2016 budget bill. And finally, the Joint Appropriations Committee reduced the agency by $1,043,771 to reflect the proportional position reduction from Section 320 position freeze and statewide budget reductions.
Questions? Tom, is that yours again, I think?
The next agency is Agency 69. If there are no questions, WICHE. in which case the JAC made no changes to the governor's recommendation. Agency 70, which appears on the bottom of page 59, is the EORC. This involved a $500,000 reduction of general funds for UW faculty research and technical outreach. That's the only change to that agency. And moving to page 60, ETS, or Enterprise Technology Services, the legislature, or JAC, adopted the governor's rec of 8% reductions and, in addition, eliminated one vacant full-time position with a savings of $129,000 and eliminated two additional positions in the education technology division, incorporating the governor's B-11 action from August 2016. So a savings of $521,000 of school foundation program funding, not general funds. Agency 80, Department of Corrections, appears on page 61 and the top of page 62. The Joint Appropriations Committee eliminated a total of four full-time positions and one AWEC for a savings of approximately $718,000. Those are the only changes that JAC made to the governor's recommendation. Agency 85, the Business Council. Board of Parole. Bottom of page 62, JAC reduced one full-time position and increased one part-time position in the Board of Parole. There was no funding change. Now we're on the Business Council, which appears on page 63 of the bill, Agency 85, middle of page 18 of the cheat sheet. You eliminated one vacant full-time position with a savings of $191,000, and you reduced $1.25 million in the administration division and $1.25 million for the investment-ready communities. That was swapped out with the addition of $2.5 million in Section 313, which provides funding for the Endow program. So that program is funded in a Section 300, and the reason being is the Endow program is technically not funded through the Business Council. It's a separate entity. The next agency are all of the courts. And there were no additions or...
Don, on the Endow, and there's a caveat in there, if the bill passes, that it's subject to passage of the bill, right?
That is correct. All of...
Got a question?
I think there's some question as to the bill itself. Is that the one that authorizes the Endow program?
That's correct. And there's an appropriation in that bill, is there not?
Mr. Chairman, there is an appropriation in that bill. And
it comes out of LSRA?
It comes out of LSRA. Your appropriation for the same program comes out of general funds. So on the top of page 93, it references that bill. It's 2017 Senate File 132, and the language in there ensures that it is not double funded. So if the bill passes with an appropriation, then no general funds are available. If the bill passes without an appropriation, then the general funds will fund it. If the bill does not pass, there is no appropriation for the Endow program. However, the Business Council still experiences the $2.5 million reductions.
And the funds go to the general fund?
And the funds would be support the general fund, correct. The next several agencies from page 64 through page 78 relate to the courts and district attorneys. There were no changes to the governor's recommendations. So I'll move to page 79 unless there are any questions, which is Agency 167, University of Wyoming Medical Education. This appears on page 26 and 27 of the cheat sheet, and there were no changes to the governor's recommendation.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Don, I was, I don't remember what we ended up doing. There was a request for authorization for them to spend their own funds for the pharmacy program. Did we work that into this here somewhere, or I lost track of that?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, you did approve the governor's recommendation, which incorporated the authorization to use those funds. Next agency is Agency 205. That's the School Foundation Program or Education School Finance. It appears on page 81 of the bill with several additional amendments. The Joint Appropriations Committee took one action, reducing the court-ordered placements program by $2.25 million of School Foundation Program. That appears on lines 7 and 8, page 81 of the bill, and the middle of page 27 of the cheat sheet. You will...
Sure. Let me ask you a question about that. The court-ordered placements is something, frankly, that the agency has no control over. That's up to the judges. So what happens if the number of court-ordered placements by various courts exceeds the amount budgeted?
Mr. Chairman, I think it's much like Title 25, where the agency has no or limited ability to address that. However, I believe last biennium the agency reverted right at $8 million. So there is some additional funds in there. You cut 2.25.
Thank you.
Senator Larson.
Mr. Chairman, and as I recall the discussion on these court-ordered placements, we have we kind of have two things going on at the same time. We're just trying to ensure that we don't have a duplication of payments. The school districts have a responsibility to pay for a student when they go to a residential treatment facility and are receiving education there. Right now, we've been paying the school districts while that student is in that RTF, as well as reimbursing the RTF. And so we're just trying to say that if that the districts have to either pay for that RTF or if the state's going to pay for it, they can't be reimbursed for it as part of the ADM. Is that right?
That's a bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I can just clarify one other thing on school finance, just as far as discussions on the floor. I see from the cheat sheet and all that that our ultimate or the JAC's total is less than the governor's rec. But looking at the bill, am I understanding correctly still that after the supplemental budget, our appropriation for school finance will be $70 million more than it was before? I just want to clarify that in my mind.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, that is correct, and that was an amendment from superintendent's letter, added $72 million. That's primarily due to reduced property taxes at the local level from coal and natural gas in the spring of 2016.
Which may go to, if the no-interest loan component goes through, that'll go down to 54, is that right?
Mr. Chairman, I think it even lower, down to 44, I believe. 44.
Senator Landon.
That deficiency, Don, that's just for this coming fiscal year. Is that correct? That gets us through this current biennium.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. The next agency, if there are no further questions, is Agency 206, the Department of Education. It appears on page 84 and 85 of the budget bill, top of page 28 of your cheat sheet. You reduced $250,000 school foundation funds from accountability and communication, and an additional $250,000 in school foundation funding for school support and individual learning. The Joint Appropriations Committee also eliminated one vacant full-time position at a savings of $136,000. Those were the only changes to the Department of Education. There were no changes from the Governor's rec on the Board of Equalization, Environmental Quality Council, or the Paramutual Commission. I would, however, note on the Paramutual Commission, which appears at the bottom of page 87 and top of page 88 of your budget bill, you did authorize their additional supplemental request for funding and employees, one of the rare increases.
How much was that for?
Mr. Chairman, it was a net request of $1.7 million, I believe.
That's a biennial number, right?
Oh, excuse me, $400,000. $400,000.
So $400,000 biennialized will be $800,000.
I'm on page 89 of the bill. If you want to walk through the section 300s, these are the narratives. Section K or subsection K begins on page 11, or excuse me, page line 11, page 89. This is the filling up of the $104.55 million statutory reserve from the Legislative Stabilization Reserve account. Currently have no sideboard, so it's just an up to amount. Subsection M stops the tip from the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund Reserve account to the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund in June 30th, 2017. So this summer, there won't be any opportunity to put substantial money into the corpus in the event of large capital gains, and you won't you will have access to those funds, and you can deposit them into a corpus at a later date or use them for some other purpose.
Mr.
Chairman, Don, you wrote us an email asking, I guess, for clarification on those tips.
Mr. Chairman, yes, and that's on P, which is page 90, line 15, and
we'll
bring
that
up. Yes.
Representative Larson.
Don, when we talk about those tips, as we get ready to go into that, can we extend that out to further biennials, or are we restricted by one legislature to the next to do that? Help me.
Mr. Chairman, you are restricted in the budget bill. There is House Bill 55, which is in your committee, and you can make that as permanent as you'd like. Mr. Chairman, the next subsection is N, beginning on line 4, page 90. It stops the tip identically for the Common School Permanent Land Fund. Subsection O is a massive appropriation. Subsection O moves roughly $570 million from the PLF holding account, which appears on the bottom of page 4 of your profile, up to the School Foundation program on July 1st, 2017. This will substantially reduce the amount of loan for cash purposes that the SFP will need. It will also exhaust that account.
How much?
$570 million. Mr. Chairman, the next issue is the one you raised, subsection P, which stops the tip from the school foundation program to the school capital construction account for fiscal year 17. We did not stop it for fiscal year 18. You could, and there was candidly some confusion of staff, we treated it just like the other tips and stopped it for this fiscal year. You will have a chance to come back next year and discuss whether that should tip or not, but there was some interpretation that you intended that tip to be stopped for 2 years. So we may not have written it correctly, and that's why we're asking for clarification. We stopped it for one.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman.
On each of these, from M as in Mary going back, how much money about is involved in each of these tips that we're not tipping?
In M and N, as of today, it's unlikely to any.
Okay.
If the markets, hypothetically go another 10%, and if our investment managers sell at the right time, we could be talking as much as a couple hundred million dollars. But that is not the most – that's not the expected outcome.
So it has to be a major
– It has to be a very major move.
And for O&P?
O is $570 million. That's a known amount. And P is if there's any additional funds over $100 million from the school foundation program, it would flow to the school CapCon program. Right now, we're profiling, I think, about maybe $70 million left. So we would have to have some pretty strong federal mineral royalties and investment earnings. And it's possible that that could be tipped, but it won't tip until the end of the biennium, so 18 months from now.
So there's really no action needed on it?
No, sir. Mr. Chairman, on page 91, section 305, this is the retiree health insurance. It appeared in the state auditor's budget, but it in the budget bill, it has its own section because this is the authorization for that retiree payment. This is the same 8% reduction to this program. Page 91.
Did they get any impacts on the penny plan in this program?
Mr. Chairman, I don't believe so.
Mr. Chairman.
Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Don, could you just, I don't think I've had enough coffee yet this morning. Could you just clarify for me what the impact, so the appropriation is reduced. What is the impact actually on the retiree?
Mr. Chairman, as representative, as the testimony by the state auditor's office indicates that that number of retirees is going down. This is an appropriation for the pre-2008 retirees, and they believe that there will be no impact on those retirees.
Mr. Chairman. Representative Larson.
Thank you. So, Don, this is an adjustment in numbers, or is this is a budget cut, but we're okay because there's a reduction in beneficiaries? Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, the state auditor had to come up with their 8% cuts. They identified this as a place that could absorb some reduction. Mr. Chairman, on page 92 is the flex for the governor. And the reason we put this in here is Senator Driscoll's motion back on the Department of Agriculture when he added back funds for the reductions from the rabies surveillance and weed and pest program. You took the cuts out of the administration division of the Department of Agriculture, and this prohibits flex authority out of that. So they have to take it in that division. The middle of page 92 is the Higher Education Excellence Endowment. This is language to help out essentially 50%, $1.25 million general fund appropriation to the Higher Education Excellence Endowment in the event that that reserve account is less than $2.5 million at the end of the fiscal year. Bottom of page 92.
Is this the one where you've got all the scientists?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Okay, thank you.
It's easier if we do one. Okay. So what's your timer? What's your timer?
Probably have it down to like 10:30 if you guys need 11 o'clock.
Mr. Chairman.
Sorry, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Don, I remember the bill and the discussion, or I mean, maybe it wasn't a bill, but the testimony, or I think I have, but I was thinking that we were going to appropriate it from the LISRA. Is there some feature to this that I'm missing?
Mr. Chairman, we took it from the general fund. You could certainly take it from the LSRA. At the end of the day, all of this will balance because of the LSRA transfer to the budget reserve account of the $104 million. So at the end of the day, it makes no difference which account you take it from.
I think we did couch it to come from the LSRA.
Mr. Chairman.
I'm quite sure, actually.
Yes. Now, we have a bill in the Senate that's doing the exact same thing. So why do we need a footnote?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not familiar with the legislation in the Senate. So
didn't we have a bill? On Friday, I believe we discussed it.
Okay, I haven't seen that bill. I might have missed it.
Okay.
I think this might be the only place we're addressing, but I'm not sure.
All right.
With your direction, we will change it to the LSRA. That does not require a vote. That was just a change of clarification of our part. Section 313, we've already discussed. That's the endow appropriation, and that's kind of the three possible outcomes: if the bill comes funded, if the bill comes unfunded, or if the bill doesn't come at all. And then Section 320 is the last section. It's worth a significant review by you to ensure that we captured your intent appropriately. It starts on page 93, line 14, and proceeds through page 95, line 21. First and foremost, the state auditor shall report to the governor and the JAC not later than March 15th on the number of generally funded full-time positions of the state position allocation incumbent listing, that's also known as the PAIL listing, for the February 2017 payroll, and identify of those generally funded positions which are vacant and which are filled. Using that listing, the governor shall ensure that the total filled positions never exceeds the total on that date. In addition, the top of page 94, the governor shall make one of two actions. It's an either or. Paragraph I provides for an additional reduction of 75 generally funded full-time positions between the date of enactment of this act and the end of the biennium. Alternatively, in lieu of identifying 75 positions, the governor has the authority to reduce appropriations programs or units or activities that would generate a like amount of general fund savings year over year, and that's where we use the $75,023 annual saving per FTE.
Don, so, on this, just for your thought processes and when we get to the round robin, the question, one of the questions was, if by eliminating programs and units or activities, does that allow the governor just to go in and eliminate pass-through funds versus direct cuts to persons program, and to personnel, administration, that type of thing?
Mr. Chairman, yes, it does. The amount, total amount for the 75 employees is $5.6 million. Hypothetically, the governor, under this language, could take all $5.6 million out of the BRC program.
And then, depending on how he did it, if he took 5.6 out of the BRC, then that would be 11.2 million for the next biennium.
Mr. Chairman, that is correct. And that's jumping ahead a little bit to subsection B, which specifies that the governor's biennial budget request shall reflect the elimination of positions or reductions in subsection A. So you're absolutely correct. In his 1920 budget request, it's going to have to include either the elimination of 75 employees or a like amount of program reductions. Top of page 90, subsection C, this is super flex for positions. In addition to the authority of section 306 of this act and notwithstanding the limitations on his flex authority, the governor is authorized to transfer and appropriate to general funds and positions essentially anywhere to accommodate the vacancy reductions, the 75 additional reductions, as well as, on line 6, very important, any legislative reduction of authorized positions in this act. So, for example, if he believes that one of the reductions to the state hospital that this committee made is untenable for whatever reason, he could choose another position in another agency or within the Department of Health to accomplish the same purpose. This is essentially super flex for positions. And then the last sentence there basically says it's a restatement. I'm not sure it's even necessary, but we've used this language before, basically that he can add to any agency as long as he reduces from another agency. So the net amount stays the same. Subsection D on lines 13 provide for a report, actually two reports to JAC to identify the eliminated generally funded positions. And subsection E defines generally funded full-time position, which means that legislatively authorized, that's not YDOT, that's not Game and Fish, that's not Business Ready Wyoming Business Council, that's not tourism, that's not UW, and it must be funded with at least 80% or more general funds. And I believe that was the discussion of the committee.
So I had a question, Don. If we put a hard freeze on pay increases as well, Can we do that? And if we do it, how would it be worded and what would the impact be?
So right now, under this language, we talked about the freeze of current vacancies, and that's right at, let's call it, $12 million. And we talked about the example that the Department of Health can use those funds for Title 25. They could also use it for raising the salaries of the nurses, which the director testified to in December. You could put a hard freeze. Those funds would no longer be available for salary increases under any situation. It would be language only, and it would, of course, be subject to a veto. It's not something we can embed.
Do we know how much money would save if it wasn't in effect? Is there any way to know that? There's really no way to pin it.
Mr. Chairman, it's a couple of million dollars, I would say, and here's how I come to that conclusion. The Department of Health is going to use their vacancy savings for Title 25 or some other purpose. So of that $12 million, somewhere around 4 or 5 is Department of Health. That's not going to be experienced in all likelihood. The Department of Corrections, likewise, is largely going to use its vacancy savings for overtime and recruitment efforts and that sort of thing. And they have flexibility in their agency. That's another $2 or $3 million. So you would only be freezing DEQs, vacancies, state parks, Department of Revenue, and the like. A couple of million dollars potentially.
Other questions for Don? So I think that we have any quick comments from the floor? Anyone that's here wanted to chime in before? I think we're going to adjourn and we'll read at 5 minutes after adjournment or after the noon recess, we'll come back. Does that sound all right with you?
Give us 10 minutes so we can grab something.
Okay, 10 minutes after noon recess.
Noontime will be real, bro.
Okay, Don?
Mr. Chairman, I wasn't privy to the discussions about the pending bill. Is that going to be a substitute bill and go with the one? I apologize, but I didn't want to miss that. The game and fish fees.
Gruber said it's going to be ready at 10:30. So we'll have a peek at it at 10:30 and make sure it hits all the points, so we'll have time to do it. So I'll run back in and then come back out, and we'll sit down and make sure we're capturing all of the beasts. Roll call vote, by the way. I just heard it. So we must be on third reading.
Vote no. Vote no.